None better than our next guest, host of All Sports Weekend, the Pipeline Show, Dean Millard. Dino, how you doing?
Not bad, Greg. Not bad.
Yeah, you must have hacked it up a few times already this year.
I haven't. I've actually had I jammed my thumb in my car door, so I can't grip my golf club right now. Yeah.
What do you mean?
I was reaching back in to get something and didn't realize. I thought I had the door stopped and wasn't paying attention, and it cracked.
So it slammed on your. So basically, you shut the door on your own thumb.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So it's hard to grip, and it's my inside thumb. I tried to hit balls with it, and I was like, yeah, this is junk. So I got to wait a couple of.
Oh, wow, you're on the IR for golf. Oof.
I know.
That is tough. Especially for you. I don't know if anyone at the station likes golf more than you. So
tell me about it.
Well, the good news, I guess, Millard, is you're icing your thumb tonight. Is you'll be able to watch, Oiler fans and just fans of junior hockey. You've got Connor McDavid in action this weekend, of course, as they start the OHL final. And let's start out west. Brandon and Kelowna, the two teams most people thought would get to the Western Hockey League final. And Brandon's loaded for bear with a lot of young great players. And Kelowna's loaded for bear, although Chartier, from what I understand, is not back yet. But who do you like in the series off the top first?
I like Brandon. I just like their depth. This is obviously a kind of a classic battle of offense defense, but I look at the Brandon Wheat Kings. Their power play is over 30%. They could have three power play units if they wanted to. It's ridiculous. And one of those guys is a 16-year-old. I think they have better goaltending. Maybe the back ends are a bit of a saw off. I mean, you got Provorov and Pilon as a draft eligible pairing. That's really good. And then you have a guy like Madison Bowie and Josh Morrissey out west. So I think the defense is a bit of a saw off, but overall, with the depth of offense and the goaltending, I'd give it to Brandon.
What's the most intriguing matchup for you in this series?
I think it's the special teams matchup. If you're going to stop the Brandon Wheat Kings, you're going to have to stop their power play. And the best way to do that is to stay out of the box. The Brandon Wheat Kings, notorious for being able to draw penalties. A guy like Jace Horlock, I thought he was going to actually try and draw a penalty on a penalty shot one time this year. That's how, often he tries to get the officials' attention, and it works a lot. The Brandon Wheat Kings get a lot of power play, so I think it's going to be Kelowna's penalty killing and discipline up against this power play for the Brandon Wheat Kings, because Brandon's going to score 5-on-5. They're going to get their goals. It's just they're just a juggernaut team, over 300 goals this year in the WHL. They're going to score, but if you can limit their chances on the power play or keep them off the power play with a good penalty killing unit, then you can beat them.
Dean Millard joining us here, host of All Sports Weekend, the Pipeline Show, the golf show. He'll also be filling in on Sports Night tonight. Dean, you and I have talked a lot about this, the Wheat Kings team, how it reminds us a lot of the Oil Kings kind of in 2012. But to me, I'm looking in the crease. I've been really impressed with what I've seen of Jordan Paperny so far in his WHL career. But in comparing him to the Oil Kings of 2012, is Paperny on a level where Laurent Brossoit was a few years ago?
I would probably say no. I've never seen a better goaltending performance at the WHL level than Laurent Brossoit put on in 2012. I think that it's different in that Brossoit was hands down the best player in that series, whereas you can look at this Brandon Wheat King team this year, and their ridiculous depth comes through when you've got, you know, they don't even have Leon Draisaitl has more points than any Brandon Wheat King, but, you know, there's five or six guys that are over a point per game level, and one of them is almost a 16-year-old in Nolan Patrick. That's the difference, is that this Wheat King team, in my mind, is more offensive than that Oil King team was, and Jordan Paperny isn't maybe relied on as much as a guy like Laurent Brossoit was in 2012.
Dean, both of these teams are good in Kelowna and Brandon. We know about their offensive firepower. We know about all kind of the big names in this series. But taking a look behind the bench, Dan Lambert in Kelowna and Kelly McCreamin in Brandon, if you had to pick one of those two coaches, which one do you think did a better job behind the bench managing his talent this year?
I'm a little bit biased. I've known Kelly McCrimmon since I was a teenager, and we were billeting Brandon Wheat Kings, so I've known the guy a really long time. he's also the GM, so you have to factor in maybe some of the stuff that he did in bringing in guys, although Bruce Hamilton did a pretty good job in Kelowna with Draisaitl and Merkley, aided by Craig McTavish, we should say. Craig McTavish basically said they weren't sending Draisaitl back unless he was traded to Kelowna, so that really helped out. But the way the Brandon Wheat Kings were able to chase down the Kelowna Rockets in the second half while dealing with some key injuries, I think you have to give the edge to Kelly McCrimmon. It's tough to, when you lead wire to wire, as the Kelowna Rockets almost did, to keep the pedal on the metal the whole time, but they weren't able to do it. The Wheat Kings caught them, and that's why the series starts in Brandon Friday night. So for that reason and the experience factor, I'd give it to probably the Kelly McCrimmon.
The good news, I guess, for these teams, they're flying for the WHL final. Yeah. Otherwise, that would be a pretty long bus trip from Kelowna to Brandon, similar to Edmonton and Portland. Let's move out east, of course. Now, last I checked, I don't think the Oshawa Erie series is on TV, is it?
It will be, I think, games
3 and 4?
3 and 4, okay, on the other network, yeah. Okay. Otherwise, they're just on the local Rogers network.
A lot of people felt like Sault Ste. Marie was the best team, and, you know, Erie really dominated them. Connor McDavid playing, you know, a huge role in that. Is Erie the automatic favorite now?
I think so. This is a classic matchup, but you're going to see the best offense versus the best defense, and speed and skill versus incredible size. I think Erie has to be the favorite. In my mind, they're the favorite. I would pick them ahead, even though Oshawa was a higher seed going into the playoffs. The way Connor McDavid is playing right now, it's ridiculous. 42 points in the playoffs so far, 22 more points than the next closest guy on his teammate. And, you know, just I was so impressed watching this guy live. His first burst of speed is ridiculous. And what it does is it backs guys off, opens up way more room for other guys on the roster, like the Nick Baptistes or Remy Ellis, McDermott, guys like that, defensemen. I know, you know, Dylan Strom was just on the Pipeline Show and said he only played about 4 games. That's why it's so hard with this Erie team, that he only played 4 games with Connor McDavid this year. So you shut down McDavid, you got to deal with Strom, who led the league in scoring. And shutting down McDavid is impossible. The guy gets 4 and 5 points almost routinely. So I think for that reason alone, that Erie has to be the favorite going into this series.
Dean Millard joins us from All Sports Weekend and the Pipeline Show. Dino, what about the queue? Like, is the Western League and the Ontario League, are the winners going to be the clear favorites in the Memorial Cup in your mind?
Well, this is an interesting thing with the Quebec League. All year long, we were hearing that the Quebec Ramparts weren't a team that was going to have some problems in being a great host, that maybe they were going to have some focus problems. And here they are in the final of the Quebec League Championship. Like, I didn't think they would get this far. They had goaltending questions with Zach Fucali after they acquired him. He didn't even start the playoffs. But going in on a high note, and they smoked Rimouski 7-4 in Game 1. That series started the other night. It started on Tuesday, actually. Game 2 goes tonight. So I have to think that the Quebec team with, you know, Anthony Duclair has 10 points in his last 3 games, they're red hot. I wouldn't be counting them out. I'm not sure. Rimouski was the top team in the Quebec League. I'm not sure when I look at their roster if they can match up against a Wheat King or a Kelowna Rocket team or an Erie Otters team, but I wouldn't count out Quebec for sure.
Dean, I just want to jump back to the OHL for 1 second. We all know Connor McDavid, he's likely going to be selected first overall, but his team obviously going on a deep run. Scouts are probably there watching McDavid. They see Dylan Strome. What's the most you've seen a player help his draft stock or hurt his draft stock going on a late playoff run like we're seeing Erie go on? Or can a player even hurt his draft stock by playing later?
Yeah, I listen, unless you completely disappear, it cannot hurt you when you go deep in the playoffs. And how many times does a guy disappear on a playoff run that isn't named Rick Nash? I mean, you know, this guy's disappeared a little bit in the NHL playoffs, even though his team went to the Stanley Cup final. But I don't think it hurts you at all going on a long playoff run. And Dylan Strome has done absolutely nothing to hurt himself this year. Anytime guys have gone to see Connor McDavid, they've got the bonus of being able to watch Strome. So if you're playing this late in the playoffs, it means that you're doing something right. And I think scouts, you know, factor that in a little bit when it comes to character doing the willingness thing. Now every subject is different, but I don't think it hurts at all to be going this late, no matter what you're doing.
Do you know, outside, you know, Oiler fans, of course, will be watching Leon Draisaitl very closely. Nick Merkley, draft-eligible mm-hmm. player this year. Who knows? He might be around that number 16 slot.
Yeah, he could be. He's a guy that I actually was pretty impressed with in at least the one game that Kelowna came to town. The second game, you're watching Leon Draisaitl a little bit more. He didn't do a whole lot that night either. But I remember the first time I got a chance to watch Nick Merkley play, he's got a really good compete level. He's another center, and he's not the biggest guy, but he definitely has some high-end skill. Definitely has a really, really good work ethic, knows where he's supposed to be on the ice all the time. So I was impressed with him, and he had a pretty decent year in Kelowna this year with, if you consider 90 points in 72 games for a draft-eligible player, really good. We kind of get spoiled this year when you're looking at Strome and McDavid in the amount of points they get. You realize that draft eligible players aren't supposed to be doing that all the time. These are some pretty special players. So 90 points in 72 games is pretty remarkable for a guy that's only in his second league in the Western Hockey League, and Nick Merkley.
Do you know what's coming up on All Sports Weekend?
We are going to go over to the World Championships and talk with Julie Robenheimer. She's over there. Canada takes on France. I believe it's 4 a.m. our time. And we're also going to check in with Rick Knickel in the scouting world and somebody from the Tampa Bay Montreal series.
Well, we will tune in. Dino, ice that thumb up, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding. I will.
Be sure you're ready for the TSN golf tournament, okay?
Oh, I'll be ready for that. I'll be playing this week sometime. It's getting pretty much healed up. So.
All right.